Welcome to the Causey Consulting Podcast. You can find us online anytime at causeyconsultingllc.com. And now, here's your host, Sarah Causey.
Hello, hello, and thanks for tuning in. In today's episode, I want to add a few more characters to the Hall of Infamy. With more individuals turning to freelancing and gig work, whether they're trying to make ends meet temporarily until they find another full-time W-2 job, where they're thinking about making freelancing their full-time staple, I felt like this would be a worthwhile episode to record. Full disclosure, as always, this is not advice of any kind. This is me opining for your entertainment only. Just my opinion, and it could be wrong. I'll also add in, like they say in books and in movies, any resemblance to actual people, living or dead, is purely coincidental, so don't start emailing me going, oh, this sounds like such-and-so person, or oh, I bet I know who this is. Nope. So I have talked before about people like Mike the micromanager, Ned the needy, Nancy the nitpicker, and Teddy the tailgate negotiator. I want to add a couple of individuals now to our Hall of Infamy. So we have also Tammy the Tattletale and Blaine the Blame Gamer. Now, before I start to describe Tammy and Blaine to you, I want to interject something important here. Again, because I see already more people getting into freelancing and gig work, I myself am very cautious of anybody that goes on social media or wherever and they're braggadocious and they want to bloviate. Well, a project has never gone sideways on me. I've never had a negative experience with a client. I'm just so perfect and everything's great for me all the time. Mm-hmm. Sure. In my opinion, people like that are either lying through their teeth or they haven't done very much work. Because let's face it, you cannot be all things to all people all the time. You're also not going to please everybody either. You can give something your absolute A-plus best effort, left nothing on the table. You did everything possible to try to please this person or this group of people, and it's still not good enough. Sometimes in consulting or freelancing work, unfortunately, here's an uncomfortable truth. You are set up to be the scapegoat. If nobody's ever told you that before, allow me to enlighten you. There was a meme, I think it was on Work Retire Die's Twitter account. I don't know if it was recently or if it was an old one that's been being recycled. But the text of this meme said, "Hey team, the client has a really horrible idea that I'm too scared to push back on. Can you drop everything to make it happen ASAP and then accept responsibility when it doesn't perform? Thanks, rock stars, smiley face." And I saw that and laughed out loud because sometimes, unfortunately, when you do consulting or freelancing or gigging, the client deep down knows they have a project that's absolute dog poop, but they want you to be the scapegoat. They want to point a finger at you about why it failed. Oh, well, it's not our fault that we wanted Tony Stark, genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist. We only wanted to pay him 50 grand. He had to live within a 10-mile radius of the middle of nowhere. Oh, he's going to have to RTO because there's no more work from home. We also want him to go through 8 different interviews and a personality test and a work assessment and blah, 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 blah. And if you weren't able to find us Tony Stark under those conditions, it's your fault. And it's like, right, okay, sure. In the episode that I did last summer called Teddy and Ned, Two Types of Clients to Avoid, there was an article from Inc.com, and I will drop a link to it again, and I will also reference it in this episode, because again, as more people get into freelancing and gigging, this is good intel to have. The title of this article is 7 Types of Clients Who Will Take Your Patience to the Brink. The byline reads, "No matter how much you vet your clients or strive to preserve healthy client relationships, you're eventually going to get a nightmare client who presses your buttons and pushes your patience to the brink. Keep watch for these 7 types of nightmare clients." And it's written by Jason Demers, founder and CEO of Audience Bloom. So first and foremost, I want to give big ups to Jason for keeping it real and being honest. This is absolutely correct. No matter how thoroughly you vet your clients and no matter how hard you work, even if you are hearts and roses and sunshine and peace and love and whatever, you're like, oh, shiny, happy people holding hands. I just want everybody to like me. I want everybody to be happy. Like, no matter how much of that energy you bring to a transaction, believe me, you're going to have at least one person who comes into your purview and you're going to think, oh my God, am I being punished? Is this a karmic debt I'm being asked to pay back? Like, how did this person even get in? You may have Jekyll and Hyde at times. That's another individual that really needs to be added to the Hall of Infamy. People who present one way and then turn into straight up Satan once you're working with them. Trust and believe, you're going to have that experience. If you're in business long enough. Now, maybe you try a couple of transactions and then you get another full-time job and it's whatever. But the longer that you're in business, trust and believe. So on Jason's list of the seven nightmare clients, number one is the bureaucracy. And he writes, the bureaucracy isn't necessarily a person, it's an entire organization. There may be a dedicated representative that you communicate with, but behind that face is a gigantic, complex organization filled with rules, procedures, and committees. Number two is the mind changer. The mind changer is notorious for changing his opinion at the last second. So, for example, if you order 500 units, he'll say, did I say 500? Oh, I meant 1,000. Now, this is also similar to my person, Teddy, the tailgate negotiator. They agree to things superficially, but then they think once they have you over a barrel or once you've started the project, they can start asking for things that were not agreed to and that were not listed in the scope of work. Number three, the needy one. Obviously, this is very similar to Ned the Needy on my list. The needy client is following up with you constantly. From the time you begin working together till the time the project is done and sometimes thereafter. She demands an update every day even if no progress has been made and causes your phone to ring off the hook. Ugh, yeah. Been there, done that, and it will give you a headache. It will give you a splitting headache. Number four, the micromanager. Obviously akin to my character for the Hall of Fame, Mike the Micromanager. The micromanager is sure he's better at your job than you are, and he's questioning every strategy you make. Mm-hmm. Number five, the everything's urgent one. This client has no sense of distinction between a minor issue and a genuine cause for alarm. Number six, the dictator. The dictator refuses to listen to anything constructive you have to say. He's already got his mind made up, and he'd rather disregard your expertise than deign to compromise his initial vision. Ugh. And number seven, the incomprehensible one. The incomprehensible one is almost impossible to understand, either because she doesn't speak coherently or because she's so disorganized you can't wrap your brain around what she's asking. Bump, 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 bump. So I will add to my own Hall of Infamy, Tammy the Tattletale and Blaine the Blame Gamer. Tammy the Tattletale is exactly what she sounds like. She's a tattletale. She wants to whine and tattle. Tammy is probably the kind of person that drove her teachers and principal absolutely bonkers in elementary school because I bet she was up in their faces every 10 seconds. Sally pulled my hair on the playground. Timmy doesn't want me to sit with him at lunch. Just all the time wanting to have a whine and a moan, no matter how insignificant the situation might be. So Tammy might be tattletaling on you to other people on the project. She might be tattletaling to you about other people on the project. She may always want to be the type of person to try to pull rank. Well, if you don't do X, Y, and Z for me, then I'll go tattle to the manager. In staffing, this can also manifest as a client who wants to tattletale to you about candidates. Well, you sent Billy to us and he agreed to a 3 p.m. phone interview on Thursday, and then Thursday at 3:01 they're calling you. They're either blowing up your telephone or blowing up your email to say, we tried to call Billy at 3 p.m. and he didn't answer the phone. And you're looking like, okay, so it's 3:01 and what do you want me to do about it? I mean, seriously, let's drag all of these things out into the light. No sacred cows. What is it that you want me to do about that? Do you want me to show up at his house like a psychopath? Do you want me to try to spank him with a wet noodle? What is it that you want me to do because Billy didn't pick up the phone at 3 p.m.? What do you want me to do? To me, I just find that kind of behavior so childish and so maddening. And it also, like, begs the question, are you not aware of the Great Resignation? Are you not aware of the fact that there was this huge revolution in the way that people choose to interview and the way that people are working? Did you miss that? I mean, yes, I have been trying and trying to get the word out that I believe we're already in a recession. I believe the pendulum is already swinging back to one of client and corporate America control rather than being candidate-driven and employee-driven. However, not every candidate, not every job seeker has gotten that memo yet. People are still ghosting. People are still doing no show, no call. People are still dropping out of a hiring funnel if they think it's complicated and stupid. I can only do so much. You can only do so much, right? I mean, let's say that you are in IT or you're a software engineer, product engineer of some kind, and the business development or sales team makes a bunch of hot air promises to a client, and then they come to you and they tell you something that's unobtainium or totally impossible. It's not going to happen. And then you're standing there going, okay, well, why on earth would you have made that promise? Because it's literally not possible. Or it's not realistic on this timeline. What were you thinking? Well, you could be used as the scapegoat. Not saying that's what happens in every company or in every situation, but it's possible. You know, so then somebody like Tammy the Tattletale wants to run and tattle to somebody. Well, Bob said this isn't possible. I've already told the client it is possible. I just don't like whiny people. You know, I don't. And I think to some degree, it has gotten worse over the years because as I've been involved in agriculture, you know, I've been working in the heat, I've been working in the cold, I've dealt with all kinds of conditions. I mean, when you have animals to take care of, you have livestock depending on you, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you feel like it. It doesn't matter what the weather's doing. It doesn't matter if you're sick and sore and whatever yourself. It doesn't matter. You got to get up off your butt and get the work done. So for me, whiny people that just want to act like everything's a crisis and everything, they need to be a stool pigeon and a tattletale about everything. Their feelings is always hurt. I'm sorry. I can't roll with that. I find that so obnoxious. So I put Tammy the Tattletale on my hall of infamy because for me, it's all I can do is speak for myself. I would not want to get engaged with a Tammy the Tattletale because just like a Ned the Needy or a Nancy the Nitpicker, a Tammy the Tattletale is going to blow up your phone or blow up your email with a bunch of hot air and nonsense that you cannot control anyway. Now, on that note, I would say that Blaine, the Blame Gamer, is maybe a brother or a cousin to Tammy the Tattletale because Blaine wants to make sure that there is someone to blame. If the project goes off the rails, if something goes sideways, if you're in staffing and you can't get Tony Stark for 50 grand, Blaine wants to make sure that he walks away from the situation scot-free. It's not his fault, it's your fault. Or if he promised a client something that's not possible, and then you come along and say, the software literally will not do that, or there's no way that we can build X, Y, and Z in this amount of time. We don't have the inventory to deliver this product. Well, Blaine wants to point the finger of blame at you. It's not going to be his fault. He will lie and conjure and do whatever he has to do to make sure that he points the finger of blame back at you. The Blaines of the world typically have another character trait that I really cannot stand, which is being a right fighter. I love how Dr. Phil uses that term to describe somebody who is going to be right no matter what. They'd rather be right than be happy. They'd rather argue, even if they have to argue with a signpost. They're going to turn everything into a Lincoln-Douglas debate where, by God, somebody's going to be right and somebody's going to be wrong. And guess what? The person in their mind that's always going to be right is them. So Blaine is going to pull you into arguments. He's going to try to trap you into all kinds of dialogues that you probably shouldn't even be having because he wants to put the blame on you. If anything goes wrong, if the end user is not satisfied, if everybody gets called into a meeting and gets their butt chewed, Blaine wants to make sure that he's like the Teflon Don. Nothing's going to stick to him. It's going to all stick on you. And I feel like this is one of the ugly sides of freelancing and consulting work that people don't talk about as much. Being hired to be a scapegoat. being hired by someone within a company who knows deep down that the rails are about to come off. The project is a what is it that Bruce Banner said? Loki is crazy. His brain is like a bag full of cats. Deep down, this person that's hiring you knows that the project is crazy and it's like a bag full of cats, but they want you to exist to take the blame. So you're coming into it fresh-faced and maybe a bit naive, thinking, oh, this is great. I'll be able to help them. And this is wonderful, shiny, happy people. And then when the whole thing explodes, Blaine is going to point the finger of blame at you and say, well, you know, we hired John Doe or Jane Doe to help us with this, and they just failed. It's all their fault. Again, I can't give you advice. I can't tell you to just walk away from a project, or I can't tell you what to do and what not to do. If it were me, if I came across somebody in my repertoire that sounded like a Tammy the Tattletale or a Blaine the Blame Gamer, I myself would try to run far and run fast, because we have to count the cost. You know, I talked about this also in my episode about Teddy and Ned. You have to do a cost-benefit analysis. At the end of the day, how much money am I going to make off of this? And is that amount of money worth the headache of a Tammy the Tattletale or a Blaine the Blame Gamer? How much headache am I willing to put up with? It kind of goes back to my episode about how dirty is that dirt sandwich. We have to have rules of engagement, in my opinion, and we have to set out the terms. In order to get access to me and my time, or to me and my skills, or my product, or whatever, here are the rules of engagement. And then those rules of engagement become meaningless if you don't require adherence to them. And I think this is another case where an ounce of prevention is worth about 10 pounds of cure. When we have oops-a-daisied and we're involved with a Jekyll and Hyde, Mike the micromanager, Ned the needy, Nancy the nitpicker, Teddy the tailgate negotiator, Tammy the tattletale, or a Blaine the blame gamer, it can feel really difficult and uncomfortable to try to extricate ourselves from that situation. And some of these people want to push back and make all kinds of threats and show out and act the fool. Other people don't. So use your own best judgment. That's all that you can do. In my opinion, it's important to count the cost. Is the money worth it? Am I going to be stressed out? Am I going to have a bleeding ulcer? Is this person going to call me at 3 o'clock in the morning and be butthurt if I don't answer? Just some food for thought. I'll see you in the next episode.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you haven't already, please take a quick second to subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.